Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, everybody. Larry Mueller here. Always fun and informative program when we get the folks from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to join us. Because, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who would like to part you with your money, and me as well. And so it's great to learn about some of these scams. And hopefully they will do. In fact, I know they have helped many, many, many people be protected from some of the scams. And there's some new ones, and there's some that get recycled. Sandy Chalmers of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection with us. Sandy, great to see you.
Nice to be here, Larry.
And Michelle Ryan, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection.
Thank you for having us today.
Well, it's always great. Always great to have you with us. And, you know, the news out of Nepal, as soon as I saw that, I thought of you too, to be honest. I thought, oh, my goodness. And the devastating earthquake there, heartbreaking. And I know there are a lot of groups out there who are asking for money. But Sandy, we got to be careful.
Yeah, I heard from people immediately, like the day after that happened, saying, okay, social media is lighting up. I'm getting emails. I'm getting tweets. I'm getting texts. And they're all asking me to give. How do I make sure that my donation is going to end up actually helping people and not going to some crook, you know, halfway across the world? Unfortunately, it's gotten very common for crooks to take advantage after one of these natural disasters. We see it happen after tornadoes and hurricanes and flooding. So resist the temptation to do something quickly or to respond to a high-pressure pitch over the phone, and just do your research. Look for an organization that's been around for a long time. For instance, the American Red Cross is a well-known organization that you know has the infrastructure in place to deliver aid. But I guess the major thing to remember is do your homework. Don't respond to a high-pressure pitch that comes especially by phone, and go with an organization that's been around for a long time and has a really good track record of helping people in need.
I think that's very, very good advice. And I failed to give the phone number when I first introduced you to. So I think I'll do that right now. There may be questions about Nepal, but about other consumer issues as well. If you'd like to join in, call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page, title, The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Seems like some, you know, we were talking earlier, I mentioned earlier that some scams, they're with us, they go away, then they come back, sometimes in a slightly different form, sometimes not, no change at all. There's one utility scam that I think is worth talking about because it's been hitting small businesses or relating to small businesses.
Yeah, that's been around for several years now. And when people get a call from somebody who claims to be with the utility saying, unless you pay immediately, we're going to shut off your heat, you know, that gets people's attention. So they're more likely to take quick action. We heard a lot about this around the time that the utility moratorium is lifted in mid-April. But remember here that utilities don't go door to door saying, pay me or we're going to shut you down. They don't call you and threaten to shut off your utilities immediately. And they certainly don't say, pay us by credit card or by wire transfer. If you ever get a call like this or somebody knocking at your door, you reach out to your utility and double check, verify that there's a problem. This is, as you mentioned, this is something that's targeted consumers. It's targeted small businesses, particularly vet clinics for some reason, and it's targeted Hispanic communities as well. So it's something to be on guard against. We've seen it in, most recently in the La Crosse area, and I've even heard PSAs from Alliant Energy on the radio here in the Madison area warning about this particular scam.
Yeah, it's really too bad, really too bad. Marianne in Milwaukee has a question, I think. Let's go there. Marianne, hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's not a question, it's a comment, and that is before people give to a charity, they should check with Charity Navigator to see how it's rated. Many charities that sound very good and that have been around for a long time spend a lot of money for administration and fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, want to comment on that?
Absolutely right. You always want to check out the charity that you're giving to ahead of time to determine if you feel comfortable with that, how they give, that they're a legitimate charity, first of all, and their percentage of giving to the cause versus administration fees and costs that they put the money towards. So always do your research before you give.
And in some cases, the percentage that is really 80, 90% is not going to the...
Yeah, that's a good question to ask when you get one of those calls. And if the salesperson won't tell you the percentage that goes to overhead versus the percentage that goes to the intended recipient, that's probably a red flag. Your caller, Marianne, mentioned charitynavigator.org. There is also give.org that's run by the Better Business Bureau and guidestar.org. Those are all legitimate firms that evaluate charities, and it's a really good way to do some vetting and research before you give.
And depending on the situation, if somebody wants to, they can check with you folks and find out if there have been complaints filed against companies or organizations.
Absolutely. Any business you want to engage with, you can check out the complaint history with us. And if we're not the ones who regulate them, we'll refer you to the appropriate agency that does. And charities, we're going to know if it's a scam charity, but if it's a legitimate charity, we'll refer you to the Department of Financial Institutions to get that information.
And, of course, we can call. What's the 800 number?
1-800-422-7128.
Okay. And then, of course, go online as well, too.
Yeah, you can go online to file a complaint and get information from our fact sheets, but you can't check out the businesses online at this time. So that would be datcp.wi.gov.
And we have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show to it as well. So you can always go there and get that link. Thanks, Marianne, for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Fran and Nina a chance to join in. Fran, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm not calling about charities, but I every so often I get a phone call on my phone, and it'll be an 800 number. And two or three times the number will show on the screen, and I called the number back right away, and I get this do-do-do. That number has been disconnected, and I'm wondering what is that all about?
Not good.
Well, that probably is another one of those red flags. Remember, you can't trust your caller ID anymore, unfortunately. There's software available that criminals use all the time to manipulate the caller ID to either hide where they're really calling from, or in some cases, they will mimic the caller ID of a well-known legitimate business or charity. So calling that number back, as you found out, is likely to end up with a disconnected number because they're using that number to hide their trail from people like Michelle and me who are out to get them and make them pay a lot of money.
So if the advice, well, when I get one of those, you know, I'll get one from Ohio or Texas or someplace, and I know nobody there, so I just don't answer.
That's exactly what I do and encourage people I know to do as well. And if it's some emergency, someone's traveled there that you don't know, they're going to leave you a message, and then you can follow up. So, you know, screen your messages as well because a scammer can leave one. But if it's a true situation, an emergency that you're concerned about, they'll leave a message and you can get a hold of them then.
Makes good sense.
I was wondering if I would get a voice telling me about some big deal, and I would hang up anyway, but I'll just give up on calling back. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks. So, yeah, I wouldn't bother to call back. And in fact, if you do call back, you might get, you're then a live person, I think. Sandy, I've heard you say that.
Yeah. Sometimes they do that on purpose, make your phone ring a couple of times so you're tempted to call back, and that identifies your number as a live number. And though, you know, lists are created that are sold on to other fraudulent telemarketers, and your calls are likely to increase. So we just recommend don't respond in any way to those kinds of calls.
There you go, Fran. Thank you. And Kevin in Madison, hello. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. I had a quick question about restaurants or retailers charging a minimum fee for Visa or MasterCard, such as you have to purchase $10 or more for the use, the ability to use your Visa or MasterCard. Is that legal or is that illegal?
What? Well, I think it's legal, isn't it?
What they're doing, yeah, what they're doing in that situation is passing on the cost of taking the credit card for your convenience, really, instead of putting it across the board for all their customers and just raising their rates across the board. So it's the fee for using a credit card as opposed to just paying in cash.
Yeah, and it is legal. I know there's a place in town where if you pay cash, it's, I think it's 5%. You get it's 5%. Cheaper if you pay cash.
Yeah, many gas stations operate that way, where the mm-hmm. cash price is lower than the credit card price. So mm-hmm. it is legal.
Yep. There you go, Kevin. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And looking forward to what you've got for us. And I wanted to talk about some of the other scams that are out there. There's apparently a check scam going on out there. Is that one? I don't know anything about that one.
There always seems to be one of those out there. And right now, one that we heard about recently was where with the State of Wisconsin Investment Board name being used on the check. So there were attempts to rip off Craigslist sellers by you purchasing something or you agree to pay for the small item with this check using the Wisconsin Investment Board name, and you pay a very large amount for the small item, and then they're asking you to send the difference back to them. And once you cash the check, you have sent off your item, you've sent off the difference. Now the check is no good. Yeah. The check appears very good. The bank runs it through, but 3 weeks later, now you're out this large sum of money.
And the bank's not going to cover that.
Nope. It's your responsibility to wait to spend the funds that you've deposited to make sure they actually clear the bank. So it's another variation of a check scam that we've seen all sorts of different check scams being used. But any time you're selling something or buying something and you pay for it, pay for the amount you've agreed to pay. Don't overpay and then receive the payment and send back this difference. I mean, get the amount you want and be done with it. Make sure your check's clear. Send your items. But anytime you're asked to wire money back or give a difference in a large amount, that's a big red flag.
Kevin in Green Bay, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What's on your mind?
I have a question about WPS billing. They started a new program where as many people do, they get behind in winter months with the higher heating costs, and like I do, and then I pay it up with my taxes. Well, now what they're doing is if you get behind in the winter, they take your three highest months averaged, and you have to pay that as a deposit to continue service. Then you don't get that money back, and they don't use it towards the bill if you're late. What they do is if you make 12 payments on time in full, then they'll give you that deposit back. Some of my questions are just the legality of that, and if they're doing this to, you know, 100,000 people in the state, where is the interest from that money going that they're holding?
That's one I haven't heard about. Michelle, do you know anything about that?
That's not an area that we have enforcement over or any regulation. I imagine what they're doing is securing their risks there with the consumer, since there have been issues in falling behind in the past. So instead of just cutting you off as a customer, they are allowing you a payment system to show correct that past behavior of having fallen behind, and showing that you're still a good risk for them to maintain your relationship, and put a system in place to do that. So your option.
Who would have the responsibility on something? Is there an agency within state government?
It may be the Public Service Commission. I'm not sure whether it would fall there or not. But I think Michelle's explained very well
I think so too.
It's happening. And it's been disclosed to the consumers in advance, which is also important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you so much for calling, Kevin. Appreciate it. We had an email from Jeff. Got a message on my answering machine that the IRS was filing a lawsuit against me, and I should call a number to get more information about the case. The voice was computer-generated and left no specific details. This may be one of the most ridiculous scam calls I've ever heard of. That was Jeff's. Those were Jeff's words, not mine. But I might agree with him, actually.
Well, it is ridiculous, but it's also fooled a lot of people. And I know the losses to these victims are in the millions of dollars now. So, you know, nobody wants to get crossways with the IRS, and this is one of a trend of government imposter scams that we've seen, where people call claiming to be from the IRS or the FBI, and people are scared by that, and they want to take immediate action because nobody wants to get in trouble with the IRS. But the number of victims on this one is in the hundreds of thousands. If you get one of these calls and you do have a question about whether it's legitimate, reach out to the IRS and ask whether there's a problem with your tax payments.
They're not going to call. They're going to write you, aren't they?
They typically do send a letter and ask you to call them. We have heard little one-off situations where people have gotten a call from the IRS or the State Revenue Department. So, but if there is any question in your mind, you can call the IRS and just double-check to make sure that there's not a problem.
Taking a look at consumer scams, there's quite a few current ones out there right now with our guests Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Marika Suval, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question or comment, maybe there's a consumer scam or something that you're at least questioning, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. And again, post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Bob and Oconomowoc up next. Bob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling concerning an issue that happened at my father's death a few years ago. And in subsequent, after, you know, dealing with the funeral and everything, I checked into, consumer protection and discovered a funeral rule, which basically one of the stipulations is that the funeral home cannot do anything regarding planning of the funeral before they have revealed their price list. And in my circumstance, what happened was the priest came over to the meeting at the funeral home, and everything was set as far as the arrangements, who was going to do what readings and so forth, and then the priest left, and then after that, the invoice came out, and subsequently I discovered that I had been paid one fee that was built into the the charge by the funeral home, and basically the funeral home just doubled the cost of the cremation. And, of course, I had signed. And my concern is that, consumers are under duress, and it's an emotional event, loss of a parent or loved one. And when I pursued enforcement, basically the message I got was that there were really no teeth in the funeral rule. As soon as the funeral home's lawyer contacted Better Business, they folded their cards and said there's not an issue. And so it all seemed like everything was tilted in favor of the industry.
Do you guys deal with funeral homes?
We do not. I know there is a rule that's under the jurisdiction of the Federal Trade Commission, and that may be what he's referring to, requiring disclosure of prices. And he's correct that people are very vulnerable at that time, and that's why that rule exists. Now, I'm not sure whether there's something similar in place at the state level. The Department of Safety and Professional Services has little pieces of that industry. But if Bob would like to file a complaint with us, we'd make sure that, you know, his complaint reaches the proper
place
where
yeah.
it can be addressed.
So the number to call for a complaint form is 800-422-7128.
Or you can go online. Our website has an online complaint form that's pretty easy, datcp.wi.gov.
Yeah, and again, we have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show for that as well. So, Bob, if you're interested in following up, that would be a good first step. Get that form and fill it out. Lois and Madison up next. Lois, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I find a lot of errors on grocery receipts when I go to the store, and sometimes I check the grocery receipt afterwards. And like last night, I was charged for two items that were the same, and I only had one. And then they said, and I asked the assistant manager about it, because when I had to go back to the store, it's an inconvenience for me. And so I drove back to the store, and then I had this jar of pickles they charged me $2.99 for, and I told her, I go, no, it was $1.49 on sale. And then she claimed it wasn't on sale. And I said, well, I looked very carefully at what I buy, and I saw the sign right below it, you know. And she said, oh, no, I checked it. It wasn't. But I find that there's a lot of discrepancy in my grocery receipts, and it's not just that one store, although that particular store has happened two or three times already. But I just want to say, I wonder if anybody else is having that problem. That's what I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
We have a team of inspectors at the department that does things like check grocery store pricing, the scales, the scanners to make sure that they're accurate. They check the meters on gas pumps to make sure they're dispensing accurately. And overall, businesses in Wisconsin are doing a great job at making sure that consumers are being charged accurately. If Lois would give us a call using this number, 608-224-4942, we'll talk to her and have an inspector double-check this particular grocery store and make sure that everything is as it should be.
Okay, so Lois, again, that's 224-4942. So if you want to give a call, like, after the show.
Yeah, that's to our Weights and Measures Bureau. That number is directly there.
Oh, okay. So call anytime. Yeah, mm-hmm. Could call anytime. They'll follow up. Again, 224-4942. And thanks for calling. At one time, I can remember, this is some years back, there was a time when there were problems in grocery stores, but I haven't heard much about it in recent years.
No, I can't remember exactly the numbers, but it's something like 99% accuracy rate, where things are ringing up either accurately or on the side of the consumer. So consumers are actually being undercharged. But we do, you know, have a pretty stringent enforcement program in place, because that's very important that consumers are being charged accurately. And it's important to stores as well, because their reputation's on the line.
Well,
so
sure.
They usually don't mind seeing us come, because they know it's for their own benefit as well.
Let's turn to Eric in Endeavor, Wisconsin next. Hi, Eric. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Real quick, 229-4942 is the number for Weights and Measures.
That's correct.
224-4942.
One more time from your guest, please, Larry.
608-224-4942.
Super. Thank you. Hey, as far as the scammer people call and say they're the FBI or the IRS, I got a call that was similar to that. Another person you don't want to cross is a meth dealer, and I give them over $400 before I remember they don't do meth. So people want to watch out for that scam. No, I'm joking. Actually, I have a question. A few years ago when I was living in Colorado, I had a cell phone account, which I will never do again. But I had an account with Sprint, and I was up in the mountains where there was zero cell service, 12,000 feet for 3 days helping a friend build a cabin. And that's when my plan switched over. When I came back to town, they said I'd used 80 minutes when I had used 0 minutes against my bill. So how do you fight something like that, or can you?
Well, if you've already tried dealing with the cell phone company regarding the error in charges or the dispute to the charges, then we would ask that you file a complaint with Consumer Protection so we can take a look at it and communicate. It come down to what your plan is and offerings, and there's the old days we used to hear about the roaming and the digital plans and different things. So we'd want to take a look at your plan and contract and what you're entitled to there, and then were you out of range or out of area if your plan were had parameters such as that. But other than that, it sounds like a situation we would definitely want to take a look at and mediate.
So, and that's a different number than the number we just gave you.
Yep, our normal 800 number, the 1-800-422-7128. That's the general consumer protection number.
Okay, 800-422-7128 is that number. Good luck, Eric. Thank you for calling. And Walter in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. Well, I'm wondering what kind of advice you can give when it comes to, private business transactions. And if you get, burned, I know when I was younger, there was a lot of times when, I thought I was buying something, then people handed me a bag of oregano, or there were times when I would give up to as much as $500, and then, I'd front the money for the weed, and then just got burned completely, never got the weed. Your advice, should I take the guy to court? What should I do?
Well, we just eliminated that particular call, so we're not going to worry about that particular caller. And we'll take some other callers who have legitimate questions. It's one of those times when I get to use something that's called a profanity dump. And we used it in that situation. Anyway, you can join in if you had a legitimate question or gripe. I hope you will at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Eloise in Milwaukee next. Hi, Eloise. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a grocery store question also. When grocery stores offer specials or have coupons for specials, is there some requirement that they have the products to cover this? Because frequently, especially lately, when I've done shopping, you'll get there and you'll want this, and oh, we're out of it, or oh, we didn't order enough, or oh, we're sold out. And this is, the specials run like from Thursday to the following Wednesday, and this is Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock, and they're already out of it or don't have it.
Yeah.
Well,
what do you think, Michelle?
That's a deep answer to that question. It ends up being a reasonable quantity situation that you have to have in stock, and sometimes demand will be far greater than a store ever anticipates. But if there's a true limited quantity, like the after Thanksgiving sales or the Cyber Monday sales, where there's only three or four, stores put that limited quantity disclosure in there to make sure customers know that they only have that very small quantity at that super sale price, because otherwise there could be a question of a bait and switch type situation if they're trying to move you to another product. So if she wanted to file a complaint, we would talk to the store to find out what their normal inventory rates are to make sure that they anticipate having enough quantity. But when the sale starts Wednesday and runs out on Saturday, it's not as though they're running out within hours of the sale starting. So,
yeah, we did have one time, and this is a few years back, where somebody had, I forget the day that the sale started, and they were there the morning of the sale started, and it was they were already out, supposedly, and that simply is kind of ridiculous.
Right, and then it also depends, is the store going to give rain checks out, because
right.
maybe inventory didn't end up coming in, or they are expecting the second shipment, and the truck got trapped
Whatever.
Somewhere because
sure.
of a storm. So it always depends on what actions the store is taking as well to do right by their customers.
And then again, your number, 800-422-7128, 422-7128 on that 800 number. And thanks again, Eloise, for calling. I appreciate your call. I actually had one today that I got an email on one on a sale, and it listed that there were 50 and that, so it was a very specific amount. And all right, that let me know that if I really wanted this, probably ought to get going and purchase. Gary in Clam Lake, your turn. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Yeah, my son's went online and did a search for Google for Disney World maps, and the links that came up, they clicked on it, and lo and behold, the bad guys had put a fake link on there to the maps, and it locked up their machine. Now, he's on a Macintosh, and you click on this, and they want you to go to this number or cancel. When you click cancel, it doesn't go away. It keeps coming back. In the meantime, your computer's locked up. So on a Macintosh, of course, if you call the number, they want $500 to give you your computer back. And but on a Macintosh, you can go into the Safari browser, and you can hold it down and do a force quit. And when that quits the Safari browser, then you hold down a shift key, and then you open up Safari. And when you have the shift key down, it brings up an empty web space. So you got rid of them, and it worked perfect.
Wow. That's Sandy, have you heard of that that system before?
Well, that's something called ransomware, which is something that's really on the rise, and I think we're going to start getting lots of calls about this. I've heard it impacting not only consumers but also businesses. And not too long ago, typically you would click on an attachment and malicious software would be downloaded onto your computer or your phone. Sometimes you'd get a pop-up that said, "We're the FBI, you need to pay us right away." Well, obviously it wasn't really the FBI. But it's gotten to the point now where they've been able to kind of infect websites. So you're just visiting a compromised website, and it can infect your computer or your smartphone. So a huge problem. I don't know about specific fixes, and it may vary depending on the virus that you're infected with, and of course Microsoft would be different than a standard PC or Android phone versus iPhone. Whatever you do, don't pay money to get rid of it. That's money down the drain. But you may have to contact a Geek Squad type business to come in and fix it if you can't figure it out yourself.
Because even if you pay them, isn't it true that I swear that somebody said they paid and then they still didn't do
it? Well, yeah, and why would you give a crook your credit card number?
Yeah.
I've also heard that they want payment now not by credit card number but by Bitcoin. So that's a whole nother world of, behind the scenes, who knows what's going on there. But it's something to really be on the lookout for. And again, how to avoid this kind of thing? Make sure you have updated antivirus software on your computer or your phone. Use a pop-up blocker and be careful about the software you download. Make sure you're buying it or downloading it from an approved site.
And again, Gary, thanks a lot for calling. Jill in Marshfield up next. Jill, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I continue to have the same problem with two types of calls. One of it is, this is your last time to lower your interest rates, and I've written down the phone numbers, and I've tried to track them. Whenever I might try to call one of those numbers back to tell them I'm on a do not call list, they'll hang up on me before I can finish my sentence. My question is, how do I find out what these numbers are so I can report them adequately?
Yeah, there are some real problems with those, Jill, for sure. Michelle, do you want to comment?
The lower your interest rate one has been around for a long time now, and we've gotten some of the crooks who've run that through the Federal Trade Commission, but new ones pop up all the time. Jill, all I can encourage you and anyone else listening to do is do not call the numbers back. Do not engage in the phone calls. Don't press any buttons if you answer the phone. If you're able to get a number off of caller ID, you can report that to us, and we will try and compile it with other numbers to try and track it back and work with our federal partners at the Federal Trade Commission to continue to track these individuals as best we can that are within the national jurisdiction. So do not engage in these type of phone calls by calling them back, and just know that you're on the no-call list and know you shouldn't be getting that call, and end it there.
All right. There we go. Thank you, Jill, for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking about consumer scams today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at consumer scam issues with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Questions or experiences to share? Call us at 800-642-1234. Give a call. We'd love to hear from you. Mike in Adams, you are next. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I was scammed out of a large sum of money of $15,297.50 by somebody who puts on as a local business. And he sold me a piece of equipment that he represented as being top shape, and it turns out not to be usable at all. And I've reported this to Consumer Protection. I took a number of measures. I went to a lawyer. I don't seem to be able to get this thing resolved. Why should that be so hard to resolve something like this?
Well, it's...
Well, I'm not really sure of all the details behind the situation and what the equipment was and how it was sold. All of that would factor into it. And what we would advise you to do is consult a private attorney. So I'm not sure if your attorney can better advise you as to what the legal hurdles are that you're encountering with this situation.
Typically, this wouldn't be something that the Ag Trade and Consumer Protection would handle, I wouldn't think, unless...
Most likely not. You know, we're able to take action on when we have laws that address a particular situation, and there are some things that happen that may not be fair, but we don't have legal jurisdiction over
them. Yeah.
So that's when we recommend that you either file an action in small claims court or hire an attorney to advise you. And this is a large amount of money, obviously,
yeah.
So we would recommend talking to an attorney.
Okay, there we go, Mike. Good luck. Thank you. Doug in Marshfield, it's your turn. Hi, Doug.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. This is kind of a long story. I was recently I delivered newspapers early in the morning for a living, and I was recently involved in an accident with a tractor on a posted road with, you know, weight limits. Anyways, make a long story short, after this accident report got filed or whatever. A couple weeks later, I got a letter from my insurance company informing me that I was supposed to have commercial driver's insurance. Even the pizza delivery guys are supposed to have this, I guess. And what my question is when I started, I've been doing this for like 2.5 years, and when, it, you know, they require only liability and proof of liability insurance, and I'm just wondering how they can get by with this without knowingly deceiving us like that, you know, because if it had been my fault, I could have lost my home, you know,
yeah.
And I come within 3 inches of getting killed. It was the air, you know, the airbags went off and stuff, and I just don't know how they can get by with this.
Yeah. Well, let's check with our guests then. Comments from Michelle?
Well, it sounds like from the beginning of your description that they may have indicated that you did need some form of insurance. And so then it would probably fall to you talking with your insurance agent about what the job was and them helping you identify the form of insurance that you needed. So I can see it's not within consumer protection, this area, but I could see where it could be one of two other state agencies, either the Department of Workforce Development and the employment disclosures that may need to be made there, or the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance may have something as it relates to the insurance industry helping you define what type of insurance you may need for the situation.
Yeah. Otherwise, and workforce development, actually, it sounds like workforce development might be the place to go.
Depending upon what the initial conversation the employer had with him, it just depends what was all discussed or what paperwork he may have received on that initial terms of employment.
Okay, so I would check in with workforce development and see what you can find out from them, Doug. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I want to give we've had lots, every line's filled, so let's go to Lynn and Eau Claire next. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I'm calling in reference to a request to apply for a mortgage through HARP, the HARP mortgage. They're saying that I'm already pre-approved, and I'm receiving several of these. A lot of them seem to be out of state. How do I determine whether these are appropriately, you know, being requested or whether it is a scam?
Seeing a lot of those emails that have HARP as a subject.
Yeah, well, lenders are regulated through the Department of Financial Institutions, so they may have some information about this company or that form of letter, and you'd want to check them out there as far as their business history and registration within the state of Wisconsin goes.
Okay.
So contacting the Department of Financial Institutions for the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, there we go. Good luck, Lynn. Thank you. We have David in Ironwood next. David, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I just wanted to warn everyone about timeshares. We went and bought some timeshare, and we told the guy we could afford $200 a month, and he put a 6-month delay, whatever. It turned out to be over almost $500 a month, and we couldn't afford it. And the only way we got a hold of lawyers, we had to end up filing bankruptcy. You could go on eBay and buy these timeshares for $1. Don't even do that, because you could rent a lot of these timeshares for the same price you pay in maintenance fees. So heads up for everyone out there. Be very leery of any of these timeshares.
Oh. I'm sorry you had that kind of experience, David. Michelle, a comment from you on this?
Well, it's a really good comment for everyone to just really consider what it is that they want in a vacation, and do they want to return to the same place or have the ability to move around that a timeshare offers. But often the sales pitch behind a timeshare is when you're on vacation, and can be pretty intense and a long sales pitch at that as well. And you kind of make immediate decisions instead of researching it and thinking it out. And in addition, what you know as the cost on the day you buy it, there are usually maintenance fees that will increase over time that you need to factor into this situation. And usually the contract is forever. You own this piece unless you can sell it. So there's a lot to factor in, and I would do your research before committing to a timeshare.
Yeah, absolutely. And Patrick and Prairie du Chien, hi, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call.
Oh, thank you for having me. I just had a question for your guests. A couple months ago, I sent in three devices, two smartphones and a tablet, to a company called eCycle Best. Now, they're based out of Arizona, but the premise is you send in your devices and you get cash back for a certain day. They give you a quote, and then they give you cash back. I sent in my devices, and there's about a two-week processing time. Within a time period, I said, no, forget it, I want my devices back. I called in, they said, oh, sure, no problem. They then proceeded to give me a quote for about $30 each device. They had promised around $500 originally. And then they said that because of the quote, this final process, couldn't get my devices back. I spent 5 days and 12 hours on the phone after being bullied, and I found the terms of service or agreement that gave me the right to get my devices back, and then they finally relented after saying no. I was wondering what kind of laws are in place to protect consumers from this. I know it's in Arizona, and Wisconsin laws may not apply, but as far as a national scale, what are the resources available to our consumers?
Well, from a general perspective, we do have laws in place that prohibit fraudulent, misleading, untrue representations. So if, for instance, a company declares its terms and conditions and then doesn't abide by them, that's against the law. I have seen a lot of ads for these companies, and whenever you do business over the line with a company, you know, in another state, you should be very careful to read very carefully the terms and conditions of the agreement, any information about how whether the cost of shipping is on you or on the company, what happens if there is a change of mind, that kind of thing. You can always file a complaint with us, and the number to do that is 800-422-7128 or online at datcp.wi.gov. And we'll review very carefully the terms and conditions that the company represented to the consumer and any documentation that you can provide to us, and review that information against the laws that are in place in the state. And quite frequently, we can get some kind of relief for the consumer.
All right. There we go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Talking consumer scam issues today with our two guests. You know, this time of year, here we are getting into the storm season. Hail, high wind, maybe tornadoes. And there's always some potential scams from storm chasers as well.
I thought about that last night as those tornadoes were rolling through the plain states. We see this every spring and summer in the state. These traveling crews come through behind the path of a major thunderstorm or hailstorm, tornadoes, offering to fix any damage really cheap, or they say, we have leftover materials available, we'll give you a discount, and then they take your money and leave town. So resist those high-pressure pitches. There are very strong laws in place to protect consumers, but don't make a quick decision. Take the time to do your research and use a local company that's likely to be around if there is a problem.
Very, very good points. Another area is one I was thinking about the other day, too, because last weekend, in my neighborhood at least, for the first time, I started seeing all kinds of signs for garage sales. Is there anything that we should be careful of in relation to garage sales?
Well, remember that there are many recalled products out there, and they are recalled for a reason that means that they have a safety problem with them. Maybe it's a warning letter's missing, so you're missing some important information, and maybe the product has cut off fingers over time, or there's the potential that the product malfunctions and can cause death. So you need to be aware of what you're purchasing, and there are many apps out there now. If you carry around a smartphone, that you can, in the moment you're buying, check to see if the product is recalled. And this is really important in the children's products, the infant product area, because there's been many things that have changed over time. They're not recalled, but now the standards have changed. And cribs is a really large area where they've made them much safer. And we went through a period in 2009 and 10 where the designs were really failing. So there were recalls and they changed design standards. So the point is just, if you can't check it out before you buy it, don't spend more than you're willing to throw away when you get home. Because when you get home, you should check out the product to make sure it's not recalled. And if it is, act on whatever the recall is, or destroy the product and get rid of it if there is no corrective action.
So it's probably, you should be able to just check on your smartphone while you're there.
Exactly. Put the app on your phone and check it out. See that there's a serial number, a time period on it. They'll give you the descriptors to help you identify if the product is recalled. And this is true of power tools, lawnmowers, you know, the children's products, everything.
Very, very good advice. Oh, lots of callers calling in right now. And we'll take some more calls with our two guests today. Sandy Chalmers of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. A number of ways you can get involved here. One way is to call in at our 800 number. The 800 number is 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page and just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page for that and click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back with our guests right after this look at the news. You stay with us. Thanks so much for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look today at consumer scams. Sometimes you see a bargain out there, what looks like a bargain, maybe it turns into a headache or even worse. Glad to have with us today Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, great to have you back.
Good afternoon.
And Michelle Chalmers, who directs, I'm Michelle Reinen. What did I say? Oh, my goodness. Michelle Reinen. Let's put it, get her name right here. Since we've only been working together how many years now? I don't even know.
It's just a few.
Just a few. She directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection, and great to have you with us, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, Larry.
We have lots of callers online. If you have a consumer issue, we'd love to hear from you again. 800-642-1234. And let's turn to Jeanette in Milwaukee. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. Thank you, Larry, Sandy, and Michelle. I don't know if this is a scam, but I'm an elderly person, and I was in rehab for 3 weeks. When I got home, I was told to call Lifeline, which is a medical alert system, and to set up something, since I live alone, to wear around my neck. I'm sure you saw ads for a woman falling on the floor.
Sure.
And all that. Well, anyway, on the brochure it says free installation, free setup. And when I called them to make arrangements for the setup, they told me they would be here, say, Thursday, 11 a.m. in the morning. So I'm waiting, and the phone rang, and I thought it was them in the foyer ringing my doorbell, but it was the phone. And I discovered that I have to set it up. I mean, here I am, 3 weeks after surgery, using a walker, and I was told that they would tell me on the phone what to do. And I'm certainly no savvy. I had to sit down several times and get up again to continue. And I was very upset at the way they advertised their service. And I'm just warning other people about this. They don't have a serviceman come and do everything for you. And it, finally, it does. It did work, but I had all these cords and wires on the floor that I didn't know what to do with. I couldn't find the address or a person to talk to anywhere. And finally, I located them at West Ellis, a part of Aurora Healthcare Services, and somebody did come down, a nurse, to untangle all the cords on the floor because I was afraid of tripping over them. So it was a really terrible experience. They should make it very clear that nobody comes to your house.
Yeah, that seems like a reasonable thing to say, to let you know.
Jeanette, we would really appreciate it if you would file a complaint with us, and that way we can follow up and check their advertising to make sure that it's accurate.
Sure.
And we've given the phone number several times, but it's 800-422-7128. The other thing I want to mention about Lifeline is that that's a very well-known company name, and a lot of seniors use that company and its medical alert device. Well, crooks know that, and so a lot of the fraudulent calls that we hear about use that Lifeline name. So if you do get a phone call from somebody who claims to be from Lifeline, be very skeptical.
Well, I got this information from the social worker at the rehab center, so it is a legitimate business. I just think that the information on the brochure and what was given me doesn't state that. They say when somebody says we'll install it, installation is free, it's set up free, you think somebody's going to come.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. So I hope you will follow through there. Michelle and Sandy are eager to get your complaint. So please do follow up on that. We have Judy in Sun Prairie next. Judy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I recently purchased a pair of glasses responding to an enticing ad, both in the newspaper and on the window of the store, saying, buy one pair, get one free, indicating you get one for yourself and one for a friend, or you could get sunglasses or whatever. So I went in anticipating that, found some glasses and sunglasses. When I got the bill, there was definitely a charge for the second pair. And I went back, I said, look, I don't understand your math here. Free means free. Oh, well, that's if you pay full retail for the first pair of glasses. And I said, so where does it say that? I have the ad here. It doesn't say it there. It's not on your window. Well, that's what we mean. You have to pay full retail for the first pair, then you get the second pair free. Anyway, I ended up getting these glasses, and I still don't understand the math. And I don't understand how they can use the word free if, in fact, they're not. What if you went in with a friend, and she was going to get the free glasses, and, you had a bill for her? You know what I mean? I just don't see, and the ad continues. It's in the paper every week.
No. Michelle, comment?
Well, Judy, we're going to say it again. Would you please file a complaint with us so we can have that information and your whole billing information? Because that is definitely the type of situations that we want to be watching out for, that advertising is accurate and that it's properly representing what the sale is. So if you would file that complaint online is an option, datcp.wi.gov, or call our 800 number. datcp.wi.gov, or the 800 number would work, 1-800-422-7128.
Unfortunately, she's breaking up there, but again, it's 800-422-7128, and they're, again, really eager to have you file a complaint because something they definitely want to look into. So thanks, Judy, for calling. Patrick in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I have a version of Quicken Essentials on my Mac, and I got an email about a couple of weeks ago that said that I had to pay 1995, or they were going to discontinue my online service, which allows me to download my banking information. And then I could pay this $19.95, and I could get access for 3 years. Well, I got rather suspicious, so I decided I'm going to wait until May 1st and see what happens. So finally yesterday, I went in there, and I downloaded my banking information just fine. So I think there may be a Quicken scam going around, and I just wanted to make people aware of that.
Mm.
Yeah, those emails that try and entice you to download information or pay for things are they run the gamut as far as what they appear, what company. They're imitation, look-alike, imposter emails that pick up very popular company names. There's a lot that run with the virus scams or computer scams to try and get you to. We talked about ransomware earlier. There's malware out there that can be downloaded onto your computer, or they're just trying to get your banking information. So be very cautious when you get those emails, and wait it out or call legitimate phone numbers that you have, not from the email but from your own paperwork, to follow up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to make people aware because an email looks pretty slick. It's pretty professional.
Yeah.
It's not one of these emails where it's pretty obvious that it's a scam. It looks like it's from Quicken. So yeah. I just thought I'd let people know that just
be careful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate the call. Kent in Hazel Green, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to make people aware of these bat excluding companies. I've worked with bats 25 or 30 years. I don't do any exclusion. I do bat houses. But never give them any money up front, because usually when they want money up front, you don't see them, because there was a small town church over here. They was going to, thought they could do it themselves, and I was afraid they'd fall, and I says, maybe you better get a bat excluder. And the guy wanted $860 up front. Well, he took off and went to California, and I called the county sheriff, and they did too, and they said there's not much they could do for 3 years. And then I tried to call the consumer protection, and they did not do anything. And then another site where they've got a man, and he seemed pretty good, and he took them for $400, and then he went to Florida. But the one that went to California, he come back now. And I called the sheriff again, and they said, well, not much they could do. And a good website is www.batcon.org, BATCON.org. It'll tell a lot of good stuff to do. It's Bat Conservation International. But I just make people aware that never give them any money up front.
Yeah, that's probably not bad advice.
There are a lot of those home improvement type services out there, and they typically want quite a bit of money up front. And one thing you can do is ask them for the names of local references, people who have used your service and who could speak favorably about you. We certainly recommend doing that before you do any kind of home improvement contract. And if you're going to spend close to $1,000 on pest control, may be a good idea to do it for that kind of service as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Kent, for your call. Appreciate it. Joya in Fitchburg has something for us as well. Joya, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call, Larry.
Sure.
I've been a long-time listener. Listen, I have a request for your guest to investigate these home care agencies. I'm a senior citizen. My husband is also a senior citizen, and he is bedbound with a chronic debilitating disease. And since last year, I've been dealing with these home agencies. When they come and visit, they overpromise. They will do this, but they don't do it, number one. Number two, there's no regulation, I found out, as far as their rate is concerned. They go from $21 per hour to $29 per hour. Nobody regulates, and you know, there's no regulation for that. Number three is, as far as the personal defense, they check their background check, but they're not necessarily properly trained. Mm. Some of them are very good, and some of them are absolutely lousy.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of things there that you brought up, Joya. Thanks for calling. Michelle, do you want to take a crack?
Well, the home care industry is regulated by the Department of Health and Health Services in the state of Wisconsin, so we'd want to direct her to contact them. I don't have a number at this point in time, so she could call our 800 number, and we would be able to give her some resource information there. And they have regulations in place, but again, it doesn't involve rates like most things.
Yeah.
You kind of choose the quality of service that you want to get, and you typically have to pay for the higher quality.
So your number again, 800-422-7128. If you want to follow up on that, Joya, go ahead, and they will give you the information you need to take it further. Thank you for calling. And Sarah in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm calling because my husband and I have moved quite a few times in the last year, and every time, of course, we changed our address, and we always use the Postal Service website online. It's only a dollar. It's very easy. And so this last time I did it using my phone. And so I clicked on the first site that came up thinking it was the Postal Service, and it looked exactly the same. It led me through the same process. And then I got a confirmation email of the change of address afterwards, and it had been through some third party that charged, instead of a dollar, charged $40 per person. And they did the exact same service, and in the $39.95 was listed. I went back and looked in tiny print at the, when you're like confirming the transaction at the end of the process.
Oh boy. And
it was very frustrating. You know, I couldn't find any contact information for the company on the website. But then I just replied to their confirmation email, and they did refund the money almost immediately. But if I had just kind of let it go, you know, yeah, it would have been the same service the U.S. Postal Service provides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you got the money back.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's good news. Unfortunately, that's gotten to be very common as well. And we've heard from a number of people about a site called dmv.com, I think, and you go there thinking that you're going to renew your driver's license, and they may charge you for a booklet or, you know, and the tricky thing is they do have a disclaimer, as Sarah said, on their website saying this is not affiliated with the state of Wisconsin, but if you're using a mobile phone or not looking really carefully, you'd blow by that. So just make sure that you are on the website that you think you're on, and usually the key is to look for that .gov in the URL rather than .com or .org.
All right. There we go. Thanks, Sarah. Thank you very much for calling. Boy, there's all kinds of ways to lose your money, isn't there? I'm glad in her case that she got her money back, and very quickly as well, so that's good news. Bill in Glenwood City, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Usually about once a week, I'll get an email from a company that's called LifeWatch, and the email will say that my security has been compromised, my information is out there, and they want to remove the threats, and, of course, they want $20 a month or something like that to do it. But I checked a little bit. I called this company, and they told me that they were affiliated with LifeLock. So I called LifeLock, and LifeLock, of course, has never heard of them. Have you ever heard anything about this company called LifeWatch or anybody else getting these emails?
Huh.
I haven't, not with the LifeWatch name. Sandy hasn't either. But we have heard of plenty of different companies trying to entice you into, you've had a security breach or different things such as that. And what they're trying to do is get your information or sell you a service. By selling you the service, you'll hand over your personal information so they can then monitor you, but they're not really doing that in that situation. So, and they're using a legitimate company name as their affiliate to make themselves look more legitimate as well. So good job checking it out all the way and following it through. But you decide when you need services and you go seek those out instead of deciding you need something once you get an email. So those are the best decisions to make.
Thank you for calling. And Faye and Kadat, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I hired a contractor to renovate one of my old farm buildings, and in the process, he didn't have it properly secured, and a wind came through and it collapsed the building and totaled it. And he was insured, but the insurance company said, even though Reborn Barns has insurance with them, that they don't cover collapse. And I had given the guy $1,000 up front, and he wouldn't return any of my money. He told me to sue him.
Oh. Well, that's probably what you're going to wind up doing, but maybe not. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, there's more information that we need here, so what I would encourage you to do is to file a complaint with us so you can give us all that additional information, because this may or may not fall under the home improvement rules that we have in place for the state of Wisconsin, depending upon a number of factors, because it's a farm and a farm building, so this is where it gets a little sketchier. So please file a complaint with us and so we can make a determination if there are some regulations that could assist you.
And again, that 800 number, 800-422-7128, or you can go online to, what is the online again? Well, actually, it's on our Facebook page, but what is it?
datcp.wi.gov.
datcp.wi.gov, the place to go, Faye. Thank you. Jill in Marshfield, hello, thank you for calling.
Hi, I just want to respond to the one person that called about the Lifeline.
Yeah.
I had a neighbor many years ago, and I believe what she used was called Life Alert. Now, I'm not positive on that, but all I can tell you is, if you're going to do something, check out, see what other companies there is, because this company that she used not only helped with the setup, but they would also have a different priority of people to call in case she got injured or couldn't get to the phone. Plus, every month, they would call her to check and see how she was doing and that the system was still working properly.
Wow. Sounds like a good company.
It was. It was a very good company. So I just thought I would call and let you guys know that.
All right. Jill, thank you so much.
Yeah, there are a number of those good home alert companies that people have an opportunity to use. I just want to make sure that people understand that we have had numerous scams, most of them involving fraudulent phone calls that are trading in on those well-known company names like Lifeline and Life Alert. So if you're interested in purchasing one of those alert devices, make sure that you're talking to the actual company and not a crook halfway across the world.
And again, just as we, the last 30, 40 seconds here, what are the best resources for knowing what scams are currently circulating?
Well, one thing you can do is check out our website every once in a while, datcp.wi.gov. And we have a little button you can click on. It says Consumer Alerts, and we post the most recent things that we're hearing about. We also have a Facebook page, WI Consumer, and we also post the most recent scams there. But it really pays to pay attention to what those scams are, because people are fooled every day, unfortunately, and they're losing millions and millions of money of dollars to fraud.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you two experts with me, and I so much appreciate it, and I hope we have a chance to, well, I'm sure we will have a chance to do this again. I'm pretty sure of that. Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, one of our guests, the other, Michelle Reinen, directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And we'll talk consumer protection issues down the road. You can be assured of that. Tomorrow, Garden Talk, Molly Fifield-Murray from the UW Arboretum comes to talk about native plants. You stay with us.